Psalm 78, look with me at verse 29. This is about Israel in the wilderness. The whole psalm is really a parable about their history out there. And there was a time in Numbers chapter 11 where they got fed up with the manna and they were ready for garlic and leeks and onions and melons and all that stuff. And so they started asking God, begging God, complaining and murmuring that God would give them something else to eat. And in verse 29, so that it eat, and he did, and he did it. He gave them feathered fowls. He gave them quail. So they did eat and were filled, for he gave them their own desire. That's the text. He gave them their own desire. Look up in verse 24. He opened the doors of heaven in verse 23 and rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food cake. No, not really. Angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. But that wasn't enough. They weren't satisfied with that. Their appetite was for stuff they had enjoyed in Egypt. And so he gave them their own desire. Gave them their own desire. I'm going to tell you something. One of the worst things that God can do for you is to give you what you want when your desire is not his desire. That's one of the worst things he can do. Now, when it's his desire, he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. When it's his desire, and that becomes your desire, that's an excellent thing because you're going to get it and you're going to like what you get. But when you beg and plead and cry out and finally God can't stand it anymore and he gives you what you want, which is what they wanted. They wanted flesh to eat. They wanted, and he brought them quail. You might be very disappointed with what you get in comparison to what you would have gotten had you waited on God. Look in Psalm 81, Psalm 81, verse 10. He speaks a little bit more about this. Psalm 81, verse 10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Verse 11. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. There was something better coming than what they had, but they weren't willing to enjoy what they had at the time and be content with that. They weren't willing to wait on what God had promised when they got to the promised land for the wonderful things, the milk and honey that was there. And so what happened is God just, okay, all right, you want it bad enough, we'll give it to you. You know, sometimes as parents, we've been worked over by the kids. It's kind of like, okay. All right, I'll let you have that piece of candy, and then they have that piece of candy, and then you sit down, and it is a fight to the finish on just trying to get them to finish what's on the plate because their appetite's been satisfied with something that they desired, and that which was good for them, they didn't desire to eat. You know, the problem is it sometimes gets to be very difficult to discern whether this is something that you desire or whether this is something that the Lord desires for you to have. Now, if it's something that you desire and you press the Lord until he gives it, or you don't press the Lord and you go get it, two things are going to happen. Your desire will, first of all, lead you astray. It'll lead you astray. These guys were in a relationship. I'm talking about the Jews in the wilderness. We're in a relationship with God. He had this planned all along. I mean, when they left Egypt, just like God had promised to Abraham, you know, 400 years after the affliction started and 430 years after he made the promise, right down to the day. They left out of there. God had that planned. They went out. They crossed that Red Sea. God miraculously provided water out of a rock. God provided manna out of heaven miraculously and promised them better things to come. And they got weary. And they said, no, but we want something, and we want something now, and we want like we had. And so what happened is they began to go astray. You know what I've noticed about folks when you talk to them or when they come to you and tell you about something that they really want, that they see coming? They will pray and ask God whether or not it's okay for them to have it, and they will hear God say yes, when in fact they're hearing their own voice. They'll say to you, well, I prayed about this. I know it's the right thing because I've prayed about it. And you're listening to what they're saying and you're seeing the direction their life is going, and you're like, I somehow or another think that maybe you put words in God's mouth. Because this does not look like God and what He does with His people. A lot of times what they'll do, they'll say, well, I've been reading in my Bible, I even found the verse of Scripture that shows me this is God's direction in my life. May I tell you something? God leading you in prayer is definitely something that you want. And God showing you in the Scripture what His will is definitely something you want. But to take a verse of Scripture that shows you that what you want is what God wants generally takes a little clever work of misapplying the Scripture or misquoting the Scripture to get it to say what you want it to say in order to feel good about the thing you're getting ready to do. And I've watched that happen in all these years in the ministry, over and over again. God even gave me a verse on it. Look right here, preacher, and I'm looking at the verse. I don't say anything because, look, when a person's already got their mind made up, they got their mind made up. And I'm looking at that verse of Scripture, and I'm thinking to myself, how in the world did you get that out of that? But you know, Pastor Keck told me years ago, he said, if somebody's coming to you for counsel, they'll lay out quickly, here's the situation, and they'll listen for the counsel, not for you to tell them what to do, but what the counsel is that God may give you through His Holy Spirit or through the words of God. But when they come in to tell you what their plans are already, he said, that's not somebody seeking counsel. That's a news conference. They're making an announcement. And there's a lot of truth. But what happens is you watch, after that, they start pursuing their own desire, and then you start to see in their lives that they go astray. Look, I hate to say, but years ago, I have personal experience with the very thing that I'm telling you now. And what happens is that you don't simply say, okay, like in the wilderness, what happened is they said, we want. And finally God said, okay, here come the quail. And I mean, when the flesh was in their teeth, the fat ones were dying. And before that plague was over, there were a bunch of them dead out there. You know, God just right now. Oftentimes with us, it's not like that. Well, I just sense that, you know, this, it's something that you've wanted all along. God's going to let me have this. And what happens is you start seeing a veering of going astray is what you start seeing. You don't see an immediate, like, fall off the cliff. You just see less and less active in church. Conversation less and less about spiritual matters. A little bit more worldliness creeping in, evident in their whatever conversation or whatever they're doing. And you just start seeing that little tendency this way. And honestly, if you have anything to say about it, you usually get a, like, mind your own business type of reaction. Some of you are nodding, so you know what I'm talking about. All right, well, going astray is not the worst of it. Because when God gave them their own desire, you know, it really went bad for them. But when God gives us our own desire, not only will that desire start to lead you astray from the things of the Lord, but it will lead you away. Away. Once you're astray, you will soon be away, because that path is not getting you closer to the Lord. It's getting you further from the Lord. What happens is you start getting comfortable with being astray, and it makes it easier to go away. You know, being up here and preaching, some of you have been up here to give a testimony or whatever, you see the faces of the people. Have you ever noticed when you're standing in front of a group of people whether some people are connected to what you're saying or whether they're not connected to what you're saying? You can imagine. I have watched people leave here 6 months before they left. You stay right where you are. Keep an eye on you. Yeah. I'll be preaching and I'm looking. And you know what? They're here physically, but they're not here spiritually. Their mind's not here. You know what that is? They're going astray. And oftentimes it has to do with getting their own way, sensing that God is giving me my desire. And then I watch. So all of a sudden, the eyes are not responsive. You know, the face is not. It's funny how all of y'all are getting real responsive suddenly. No. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. With the exception of you. Drifting out of the room. When they do finally leave, which is always a heartache, they do finally leave, you knew it was coming. Do you think it was any surprise at all to the prodigal son's father when he came to him one day and said, "I want my half"? I don't think it was a surprise to him at all. He saw that coming, and when he gave him the half, didn't surprise him at all that he went to the far country to waste it. He was gone before he left. Yep. It finally leads you away. And what happens is you get comfortable with not being connected to the Lord, and then you get more comfortable with being connected with the world. Well, I know we already know that course. You've changed direction. You know, it's kind of like that old illustration about the frog in the boiling water. You just put him in there in a pot of cool water and turn up the heat gradually. He doesn't even realize he's getting ready to boil to death. Same way. When you start going astray in your own desire, you're not aware of your spiritual bankruptcy and not aware of your own spiritual death. So as one person said, it's better to want what you don't have than to have what you don't want. Yeah. And that's a hard thing for people to realize, because you got your heart set on some things. Now, I've watched people do this. I've watched people, you know, they're like, "Oh, this is the person that I want for the rest of my life," they think. My desire. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, there's a change in direction, and you find, okay, that's not what God wants for me. That's what I wanted for myself. Thank God that God didn't do that. So that person's out. But they're thinking, what am I going to do for a spouse now? And then all of a sudden, God brings the one that was his desire. And it's like, wow, am I ever glad I didn't settle for that. So the question then is, how do you avoid this being in a situation where God gives you over to your own desire? You know, I've made the message fairly simple. It leads you astray and then it leads you away. If you sense that you're going astray, you need to get a course correction before you're gone. For sure. How do you avoid that? I would say there's three simple things you should do. First of all, be circumspect. Be circumspect. That's what Paul tells us to do in Ephesians chapter 5, redeeming the time. Be circumspect. What does that mean? You got to look at what you desire. To be circumspect is to look at it all the way around. Circumference, look at it from every angle. Look at what that thing is that you desire and check your own heart and discern, is this coming from my own heart and lust, or is this coming because of my desire to do the Lord's will? And may I tell you something? There's not a person in this room that would have a hard time knowing the difference. You don't have a hard time knowing the difference. What you have a hard time doing is admitting that's coming from my desire, not the Lord's desire, and I am willing not to follow my own heart's desire there. That's tough. So be circumspect. Check your own heart on the matter and really, really search your own desire and say, oh, wait a minute. Is this what God wants for me? Is this what I want for myself? You know. And if it's not what God wants for you, then drop it. Find out where you are and don't go astray in it. A young man that I know comes to mind, and it was evident that he really wanted a girlfriend. It was also evident that most of the girls didn't want him for a boyfriend. And he finally found that girlfriend. Man, he was so excited. And look at all this, and look what God is doing in my life. It's so easy to sound so spiritual. Look what God is doing in my life. From the outside, looking at that situation, it was very obvious this was not God's doing. But how do you tell somebody that's in that situation? This is not God's doing. All right, well, then eventually he found the love of his life and got married. That marriage did not last 6 months. 6 months, and it was over. I talked to him about that, and I said, what in the world? And one of the things he said is, well, you know, I was being very active in things of church because I knew that's what she wanted, but after I got married and I had the woman that I wanted, I was more careless about my time in church and time in the Bible and time in prayer. You know what happened? He had gone astray, and then he went away. Now, that's not the only reason that it all fell apart, but that's part of it. Do you get it? Are we tracking here? It's so easy to get confused about things that you want so badly God to do. Be circumspect. Secondly, be patient. Be patient. You know, if it's really something God wants for you, if it's good now, it'll be good 2 months from now. Yeah. So give it some time. Make sure see how and in what way God is leading. It's amazing to me, but when guys want to do something, if they're not too quick to try to get their hand on it, they can really follow God instead of getting ahead of God, and they won't get off track, guys and ladies, in the thing that they really desire, because God knows your heart, but a lot of times he has to condition our hearts until the thing that, you know, he says if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. So it's not wrong to desire things. But the thing is, you want to make sure that God has conditioned your heart in such a way so that when he gives you what he wants you to have, you're happy with it. Be patient. See how and in what way God is leading. Give God a chance to show himself in the matter. He certainly did for the Jews. All the plagues and then the crossing of the Red Sea and then the provision out there in the wilderness. Don't you know, God really, when he got the Jews out there in the wilderness and they got really thirsty for 3 days and then they were starting complaining and then he brought them the water miraculously, it was to say, hey guys, you got what you need in me. You got what you need in me. Just trust me. I know what I'm doing here. Be circumspect, be patient, and then finally be content. Be content. He says, be content with such things as you have. And this world is designed to make you discontent with what you have so you could go get what they're trying to sell you. That's what TV is. Yeah. It's to make you, you know, you should be content with what you have. You know what? All we really need has already been provided for. So I just want you to see it quickly and then we'll wrap this up. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Because if you start here where Paul is writing to us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, the rest of this stuff is going to not drag you off track. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, 7, and 8. So simple. Be content. godliness with contentment is pretty good. It's great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. It's very important for us then, you see, not to be concerned with our own desire, but God's desire for us to be like God, godliness. When we have that godliness and we are content in our relationship with the Lord, not complacent because we want to grow, but content in our relationship with the Lord, there's great gain in that. Because you know what happens? Now you got all you want. You've got Him and you've got contentment. And you really don't want anything else. I was teaching a discipleship lesson this evening right before church, and this is the 10th lesson. It's on giving. You know what happens to people when they start giving to the Lord and start giving, you know, bountifully to the Lord? Your appetite for things you used to be able to buy with that money you're now giving to the Lord diminishes. It was the theme of Vacation Bible School. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And it changes like that. So contentment, godliness with contentment is great gain. Verse 7, we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. You came in naked, you're going out the same way. But he says in verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us be there with content. You know, we really don't need, right, much more than that. You have something good to eat and some clothes to wear. If you think about it, so what happens to us as individuals, I'm including myself. We live in a society now where you're second rate if you don't have a storage unit with something in it. Right? We do have more than we need. And we want more. And basically he said, once you start with what I desire, godliness with contentment, why should you be happy with the food and the raiment? And let's see where we go from there. Now that is a good course correction. It really is. That is a great course correction to keep us from being given over to our own desires when these things may actually affect our lives in a very bad way. We don't want our desires to lead us astray, and we really don't want them to lead us away.